Amen. Amen. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I know you all have heard the adage, if you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, don't pray. Well, I'm going to say pray anyway. Even if you're worried, pray and let the Lord take the worry away from you. Keep on praying, continually keeping prayer coming out of your mouth. We'd like to thank Pastor in his absence, allowing me to stand in his stead and come before you today, and praying for traveling grace for him and his wife while they're away. I'd like to thank my wife and my family for always supporting me. Thank you, baby. The associate ministers, Dave, you guys just don't understand. These folks, they're just awesome. And to each of you congregants, the congregation here of Trinity Baptist Church, you guys have forever been supportive of this entire ministerial staff, and we thank you for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity to come together as you have commanded us, to come together and share our like minds of serving you. So now, Father, I ask that you decrease me and increase you so that your word may go forth. Amen. This morning, our text comes from Psalm 51, verses 10 through 13, and I have here the New King James Version. Give me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. May be seated. So let's go back and give some context. The preceding verses 1-9 is a heartfelt prayer of repentance by King David after he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed. This is a meaning of a desperate plea for God's mercy, asking God to cleanse him from sin, which David acknowledges as a deep-seated rebellion against God. These verses express sorrow for his actions, and David recognizes the sin that is prevalent in his life. And David has to confess that the only hope he has is from the forgiveness that lies within God and God's compassion. So now we have the setting. There was a song written by the great Dr. Margaret Duroux, and it's entitled, Give Me a Clean Heart. It was inspired by this psalm, and that's the sermon title. The words go, and don't be afraid, I'm not going to sing. I don't want y'all running out to church on me. But the words go, give me a clean heart so I may serve thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by thee, for I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart, and I'll follow thee. See, in this version, the 51st Psalm, with these 10 verses 10 through 13. King David, this is a prayer for internal restoration after he's been sinning. And he asked God to clean up his heart and renew a steadfast spirit and not to banish him from God's presence and to restore the joy of his salvation. He also asked to be sustained by God's generous spirit so he can teach others God's ways. The passage reflects a deep need for a spiritual cleansing and a desire to be right with God, not just outwardly, but inwardly. He needs to be cleaned up within. See, I'm not talking about church appearance outwardly, right? Because some folks, they come in with their Sunday best on. What I mean by Sunday best, not just their clothes, their best outlook, their best projection of themselves to let you know, hey, everything is going all right with me. But on the inside, there's turmoil, there's despair, there's things that they are wrestling with, and they need God to take care of that. So the scripture says, create in me a clean heart, O God. David acknowledges his sin and that his sin has corrupted him from the inside. He asks God to perform a creative act, like in Genesis, to make him pure from the core of his very being. This is a request for a new creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. Fun fact, the Hebrew word for created is bara. That's for those who wanted to learn a new Hebrew word today. I don't know who that is, but there you go. David is talking about God create in me. Have you ever asked God to create in you a clean heart? See, my good friend and mentor, Dr. Thurman here, as I would go and visit with him on one of those visits, he gave me this diagram, and it had a depiction of a person. And in that depiction, it was describing what you take in. Not all that you see, what you take in with your eyes, and what you take in with your ears, not all that you hear, what you take in, it penetrates your heart. And as it penetrates your heart, those are the things that come out of your mouth. So be careful of what you take in with your eyes, and be careful what you take in with your ears. You can see things, you can hear things, but be very, very careful of what you take in. So the first part of your outline is ask God to give you a clean heart. A renewed right spirit within me. He asked God to replace his sinful attitudes with a new, steadfast, and morally upright spirit. So I know that some folks are going to say, oh, I know some people that need their morals checked. But what about you? Do you need your morals checked? I recently watched a podcast where one of the participants, he said, I've done some things in my life that I can't stand to brush my teeth looking in the mirror. So, you know, it starts with the person in the mirror. So he says, I can't stand to watch myself brush my teeth in the mirror. So I walk around the house because I know about the things that I've done that aren't too pleasing to me. And I can't stand that. So I can't stand in that mirror. So my question to you is, where do you brush your teeth? Do not cast me from your presence, and do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. Fearing the consequences of his actions, David pleads not to be separated from God and not to have the gift of the Holy Spirit removed, as he knew this would be the ultimate loss. Have you ever felt God and the Holy Spirit not in your presence? What have you done to get God back into your presence? Or excuse me, correction, what have you done to get back into God's presence? Because you know, God never leaves you. God never forsakes you. It's us that leaves God. I had to say it that way because some folks think that God leaves them. God never leaves you. Song says, hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. That's your job to hold on to God's hand, not God's job to hold on to your hand, because he's going to hold on to your hand because he's always extending his hands to you. But we get caught up in this life and we kind of, I want God to see what I'm doing over here. So I got to, you know what it is, right? So God, but God's still with you even then in that space where you know what it is. Whatever that you know what it is. So what do you do to get back into God's presence? Well, David, he knew that he had to repent. And are you repenting for the things that you have done? The things that take you away from God's presence, right? David didn't want that to happen to him. So he did what he knew was right, and he went to God. He didn't say, oh, when I get myself together, oh, when I get myself right, oh, this or oh, that. He said, no, Father, I have sinned, and I come to you for your forgiveness. So now the second part of your outline, ask God for this also. Do not cast me away or take away your Holy Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He asked for restoration of the joy and peace he had once had in his relationship with God, which his sin has stolen. Think about that. His sin stole his joy away from God. He asked for restoration. And that's the third part of your outline. Write in restoration, which reminds me of this man that was worshiping. He was worship. Every week he'd come to worship. Fill me, Lord, fill me. Next week he'd come in, fill me, Lord, fill me. Next week he'd come in, fill me, Lord, fill me. One of the deacons got up and said, Lord, don't fill him no more. He got a leak. What has sin stolen from you? What needs to be restored with your relationship with God? Richard Smallwood saw the center of my joy. Some of the words say, all that's good and perfect comes from you. This is the joy God fills us with. That's that joy that that man at that worship service was looking for. Right? But his joy, that doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect when he fills you with his joy. What it means is God is perfect, and in his perfection, we can have joy. Because God's grace is sufficient, and his mercies endure forever. God's grace And God's mercy is what David was looking for. And uphold me by your generous spirit. He desires a right spirit and is eager and ready to serve God, which will sustain him in his life and ministry. We need God's spirit in us at all times. Because you know why? Life has a way of lifing, doesn't it? And when it does that, sometimes we get so wrapped up in our flesh that we forget to ask God for his generous spirit to see us through. When God gives us a clean heart, you know what comes with that? The fruits of the Spirit. That's what comes with the clean heart. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. All of these things come with the clean heart. And when your heart is pure and your heart is clean, all of those things that God has filled you with is just like breathing. It's easy. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. David concludes by expressing his hope that after being restored, he can use his experience to guide others back to God. So in the fourth part of your outline, do your part. Allow God to use you to shine his light. Say it again. Do your part. Allow God to use you to shine his light. Not your light, not what you think should be done, what God's word says should be done. It was right yesterday, it's right today, and it's going to be right tomorrow. Now, saints, this is when you remember. I know some of y'all saying, remember what? You know what I'm talking about. It's time for you to remember when you were not walking the walk that you're walking today, right? You weren't in the space that you're in today, right? Your past is still your past. But because of God's grace and mercy, your future through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is secure. So whatever your thing was, because your thing wasn't my thing and my thing ain't his thing or her thing or whoever's thing, right? You did something. And don't fool yourself by saying, oh, no, I was goody two-shoes the whole time. No, you wasn't. Because, you know, as they used to say in the old days, well, I ain't going to say it that way. But I'll just say this. Just remember what you used to do, and thank God you don't do it no more. Amen? Amen. Amen. So help someone with your story, right? Help someone with what you're going through or what you've been through, right? That's why we're here. We're here to help one another. Iron sharpens iron. I don't care if you are brand new in your Christian walk or you have been soldiering for decades for the Lord. You need to help somebody. But when you do it, make sure you do it with God's love. Don't be one of those mean Christians. I'm just saying. Now, there's a time to be stern. I'm not saying that because, yes, there's a time to be bold. There's a time to be stern. There's a time to be matter of fact. But you don't have to be mean when you're doing any of those things. You can still do it in love. You can still have kindness, and you can still have that joy that the Lord has placed in you. You can still do it in that fashion. So remember, every saint has a past. But the good news and the better word is every sinner has a future that accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the good news. Now, John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, and let's come on, let's say it all together. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we have an escape plan, and his name is Jesus Christ. We can escape from the ills of this world. We can escape from whatever depression you got going on, because God is worthy to be praised, and his son, Jesus Christ, is the vehicle to get there. This is a great example to share on this Advent season, because it is a message of hope, hope for the future. David had hope in his future, because he knew that God was a loving God and a forgiving God. But he knew that without God, his life would be hopeless, since he did not want to be left without God and the Holy Spirit. David repented for his sins. Now, we have that same hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God knew that we would have struggles, so he sent his son, Jesus. We have hope because we can ask God for that same clean heart that David asked for. Now, just in case anyone needed to be reminded, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin mother. He was always about his father's business, even as a young person. He enlisted disciples as he grew older. He taught them how to pray. He taught them how to walk with God. And then he shared that with the world. And then the world turned their back on him. They accused him. They arrested him. They crucified him. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there all Friday night. Then he laid there all Saturday night. But I tell you early, somebody say early. Early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Not some power, but all power in his hand. But the story doesn't end there. He still went around for 40 days, still being about his father's business. And then he ascended to heaven. And the story doesn't end there, because he's coming back for his people. He's coming back for his family. He's coming back for all that accept him as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I say to you, give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart. Give me a clean heart so that I may serve thee. God bless you all. The doors of the church are now open, and I just want to tell you guys that God is good, and God is merciful, and God is kind. And if you don't have a church home, now is your time. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come on down. We'll accept you with open arms just like Jesus. And don't be afraid, because we've all made that walk. Somebody will come down the aisle and walk with you so you don't feel that you are walking alone. I tell you, it is a wonderful thing to be in the family of God, because God cares for you. God loves you. God said you can be a part of me. So I say to you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.